You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
Sin will numb your heart to the voice of God. Sin will cause your heart to crust over, to harden, to set like cement, where when the seed is sown, your heart gets to the place because of sin that it does not receive the seed of the Word of God any longer. It just sits there until the birds of the air, which is the devil, comes and picks it out, picks it off, steals the Word away from your heart.
Are you allowing the brilliance of God's grace to illuminate every facet of your existence? Are you displaying the miraculous transformations He has wrought in your life to the world? In today's message, Pastor Jeff wants you to know that you need to let God's love shine through all your actions, drawing others closer to Him through your testimony of His goodness and mercy. As you walk in His light, become a beacon of hope amidst the darkness, guiding souls toward the warmth of God's reassuring embrace. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Mark as he begins his message, The Seed Sown by the Roadside.
A tale of four seeds. The parable we're about to read from, Jesus said, if you can understand this parable, then you can understand all of them. This parable is foundational to understanding every other parable of Jesus. This is the first one I preached out of when I began to preach the Word. This is the very first message I preached was this parable. But let's look at Mark chapter 4, 3 to 9. And again, he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he had to get into the boat and sit in it and push away into the sea. And the whole multitude was gathered on the land facing the sea. And of course, the water was helping carry his voice to this huge crowd. It says, then he taught them many things by parables or stories, and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened that as he sowed, that some seed fell by the roadside. Now he's given four destinations for this seed. Watch carefully, I've got them underlined. The first seed fell by the roadside. What happened? The birds of the air came and devoured it. Then it says, some fell on stony ground. What happened? It didn't have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Then, verse 7, some seed fell, and we kind of missed something there, but it says thorny ground. And the thorny ground choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, you better hear. That means understand what you're hearing. Don't just hear it, but understand what you're hearing. How many of you want ears to hear? Now notice, before you're seated, out of those four things, four seeds, three of them ended up negatively. Three of them ended up not bearing fruit. Three of them did not do well. Only the fourth one did well. Very important to the parable, how many of you want to be the one that does well? I'm going to be talking about a tale of four seeds today, the seed sown by the roadside. Father, thank you for your word, and we pray that you will bless it. Lord, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to touch this, and I'm asking you to open our understanding, and everyone listening by radio with a hard heart, Lord, break open that heart and minister to it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just get right into this today. Let me break the parable down and tell you what it's comprised of. First of all, Jesus Christ is the sower of the seed. He's the great primary sower. We as Christians are all sowers sent forth under Him to sow the gospel. If you're a believer, you're a sower. God has put the seed of the gospel in your hand, and you're to go out and sow that seed. And you do it every day, whether you know it or not. Now, the third thing about this parable is the seed sown is His Word. That's the seed that is sown. It's His Word. The gospel of the kingdom is the seed. Right now, I'm sowing seed, the Word of God. Now, look what Peter said. Peter said, you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed through the Word of God. So the reason you're saved is somebody sowed seed, the gospel seed, and it fell on your heart, and your heart received it. And because your heart received it, you got saved. But it came in seed form. When it grows into love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, and faith, the fruit of the Spirit. That's the result of the seed sown. Now, in this parable, the soil, the ground, is the human heart. The ground is the human heart. Now, he's going to show us four kinds of human hearts or soils. He's describing them to us. Very important we catch this, because everyone in this room is in one of these four categories right now as you sit there. The wayside soil is the first one, and we're going to deal with it today. The wayside soil is the light, flippant, indifferent hearer upon whom no impression is made. The word is sown, it falls on your hard heart, and it never takes. You're never saved. It's snatched away from you. Second soil is stony soil. This is the heart that exhibits a fleeting feeling at the appeal of the gospel, but no permanent impression is made. Notice, he says, these people, where it falls among gravel or stony ground, they receive the word with joy. But as soon as they encounter trouble, persecution, criticism, whatever, because of the word, it scorches the seed and they fall away. They walk away. And they don't bear any fruit. The third soil, the thorny soil, the heart that takes in the word, but it's so full of worldly cares, so full of problems, so full of distractions, that the Greek language says literally the word is choked or strangled in their life, and they bring forth no fruit. They're not fruitful. They're saved, but they never bear any fruit. There's no love, no joy, no peace, no long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith. These people never put down roots and never really show fruit because the word is continuously strangled and choked in their life by distractions. So they bear no fruit. Three negative endings so far. Finally, we come to the good soil that I want to be, and I know you want to be. He says the good soil is the good and honest heart. He calls it a good heart and an honest heart. The heart that receives and retains, keeps, holds on to the truth. And in this heart, the seed grows and new life is manifest, and that person brings forth fruit. Jesus shared this parable to let the apostles and the later Christians know that they were going to encounter four different kinds of people as they minister the Word of God, sow the Word of God. You've probably already encountered every one of these people. You might be, you are one of these people. And so, again, the four kinds of soil or hearts the Word of God will land on are these. Roadside soil. Can you say it with me? Roadside soil. That's hard, packed, and unyielding. Rocky soil, shallow and rough, where no roots are put down. Thorny soil, filled with obstacles and hindrances, this person bears no fruit. And good soil, rich, yielding, and plentiful. This person bears fruit to the glory of God. The varieties of soils, these four soils, represent an assortment of responses to Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. So let me begin now with the roadside. The first soil, the roadside ground, the hard-packed soil. And I'm going to deal with one a week. Don't miss this, because I believe God's going to be doing some changing, some rearranging, some restoring, some healing. The Bible says, as Jesus tells the parable, as the sower was scattering the seed, some fell among the roadside, And look what happened. The birds came and ate it up. Now, this roadside that Jesus speaks about is the hard-packed soil that lay between the trenches made by a plow. We've all seen plowed fields, how they roll like this. The hard-packed soil is the soil in between the trenches that gets packed down, where seeds fall on it, but it's so hard, it's so tough, it's so unyielding that they never penetrate, they never are received, they never go below the ground, and so they never take. They never produce anything. Now, remember, we're talking about hearts here. Jesus is using soil to describe hearts. So this kind of hard heart comes about for a reason. And I'm going to talk now about the hard heart, the heart that does not respond to God, the heart that does not receive the seed, the heart that does not produce fruit. It's a hard heart, unyielding heart, the roadside heart, the roadside soil. Where does a hard heart come from? How does this happen? Well, one, for sure, every time, is sin. Sin will harden your heart to God. Sin will numb your heart to the voice of God. Sin will cause your heart to crust over, to harden, to set like cement, where when the seed is sown, your heart gets to the place because of sin that it does not receive the seed of the word of God any longer. It just sits there until the birds of the air, which is the devil, comes and picks it out, picks it off, steals the word away from your heart. Sin will do it every time. Sin kills your sensitivity to God. Sin destroys your walk with God. Sin desensitizes you to the voice of God. Sin gets you to the place where you get nothing out of the word of God. You can open it and read it all day. But as long as you're in sin, it is a dead letter to you. A closed mind is another reason the heart becomes hard. Not just sin, but a closed mind. Now, I believe that Jesus knew who was listening to him. When you read the Bible, you read the New Testament, you see that everywhere he went, the Pharisees and Sadducees followed him around, waiting to trap him. These were individuals who Jesus himself said did not receive the word of God, did not understand the teaching of Moses, and were not godly and were not even saved. But they were the religious teachers. And I think Jesus had them in mind when he talked about the seed that fell by the roadside that was not received. These religious leaders had a closed mind, shut out to the truth of God. It's like they say, there's nobody as blind as he who will not see, because your mind is closed off. And when you close your mind off to God, Romans talks about not retaining God in your thinking, choosing not to retain God in your thinking. When you close your mind to God, it hardens your heart. Here's the truth about a closed mind. When it comes to the salvation of your soul, a closed mind is a good thing to lose. As a matter of fact, if you're going to lose your mind, lose the closed one when it comes to Jesus Christ. See, let me tell you something. Don't close your mind to Jesus Christ. People all over America have closed their minds to Jesus Christ. And because they've closed their minds to Jesus Christ, our nation is galloping into darkness of the grossest kind. We are under assault because of individuals who have closed their minds off to him. Let me tell you, those of you that have a closed mind to the Lord Jesus, you've already decided he's not for you. You need to look again, because I assure you, if your mind is closed off to him, it's because somebody told you something about him instead of you reading the red ink yourself. Don't close your mind off to Jesus Christ. Open the mind of your door. Consider his sayings. Look at his teachings. Ponder what he said. Because Jesus Christ was the Son of God, is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and nobody talked like him. Nobody said what he did. Nobody said, guess what? I am God wrapped in skin, and I came to save your soul from your sins. Don't have a closed mind to him. But there's another kind of person that you probably know quite well. Another kind of person whose heart is hard, and here's why. Because they are a know-it-all. The roadside ground could be the person who thinks they already know everything. You know what it's like to, I hope you don't have one of those at home with you. Keep your eye up on me. Don't look at your spouse. Look it up at me. But watch this. Isn't the know-it-all just so difficult? Because you can't tell them everything, anything, because they already know it all. And you know what it's like to be around a know-it-all? Because you're afraid to bring up any topic because know-it-all already knows it all. And you're not going to get a word in edgewise because Mr. or Mrs. Know-it-all are going to give you a lecture about what they already know. And you don't want to go there. So all you do around them is gossip the gospel. You don't go into politics. You don't go into anything because know-it-all is going to read you the riot act. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Solomon, the wisest man on the earth, is telling us that it's easier to reach a fool than a know-it-all because they already know it all. Let me tell you who really did know it all. His name is J-E-S-U-S. If you want to get around a know-it-all, can I just brag on Jesus here for a minute? See, I've studied this for a long time. And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ was the greatest philosopher that ever trod earth. He's the greatest thinker of all time. My Lord, he created the mind that thinks. He created the eyes that see, the ears that hear, the heart that feels. Jesus created it. All things were made by him, for him, and through him. And without him, nothing was made that is made. When the stars were flung into space, God said it, Jesus amened it, the Holy Ghost executed it. When God made man, God said it, the Son amened it, and the Holy Ghost executed it. When you were going to get saved, God said it, the Son amened it, the Holy Ghost executed it. They move three in one. If you want to know a know-it-all who won't give you a bad time with it, go to Jesus, for in him is wrapped up all the wisdom of the Godhead bodily. He is the wisdom of God wrapped in skin, the light of the world, the bread of life. He is everything you need to know. It's found in him. And the roadside also pictures the person whose mind is shut to the truth of God. I'm going to tell you why. Because they don't want it to be true. They don't want it to be true. Listen to what Jesus said about people and why they rejected him. He said, this is the judgment that is coming on the world, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Most people who give you an intellectual reason for why they don't believe in Jesus, that's not really the reason. They've got enough smarts to come up with some kind of an intellectual objection to it. But the bottom line is they love their darkness, love their sin, love their rebellion, love their vices, love the darkness more than the light, so they don't want it to be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. This is the word of Jesus Christ himself. He said, let me tell you the problem with the human race. They love their darkness. That's why you can be out in public and say Buddha, say Krishna, say Muhammad, any of that. Nobody cares. But when you say Jesus, it's like cockroaches scattering when you turn a light on in a kitchen. Why? Because there is power in that name. There is light in that name. There is anointing in that name. That name is like an x-ray. And I know because I have come under that name. I can remember running from God, wanting my darkness, loving the darkness, even though I knew it was destroying me. But I didn't want the light. And I knew if I got around them, that is the Christians, with their Bibles, I would be extremely uncomfortable because You carry light. Didn't Jesus say that? You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. No man lights a candle and puts it under a plant where you can't see it, but he puts it on a lampstand so that it gives light to all that are in the house. This is why some people won't come to a church like this. They'd rather go to a church that never talks about sin, never reads the Bible, never does any of that, so that they are comfortable in their darkness. But I tell you, the time is short. There is a verse that haunts me, and the verse is in Jeremiah, and it says, the shadows of the evening are lengthening. Our nation is under attack. Darkness is creeping across this land. The reason I'm preaching this message is if there was ever a time for Christians, to be fruitful, to be bold, to speak up, to stand up, to take your stand, to not be ashamed of him, to not back down, to not stay in the closet, but to come out of the closet. Everything else is, you might as well. Come on out, Christian. It's now. We're in a battle for our life, for our freedom. I tell you before God, right now we better stand up. You better get vocal. You better be who God's called you to be. Wrap yourself in your destiny. Wrap yourself in the power of God. Don't be afraid to say the name of Jesus and take a stand for him. I hope you're hearing me. If you're on this hard soil, if your heart is hard, I hope to break it up today. I hope to break your heart. Romans 1 talks about those who suppress the truth. Push it down. Our nation is working overtime to push it down. Don't let them do it. 2 Timothy 4 says the day is coming when they will not endure Bible teaching, sound doctrine. They will not endure it. They will not want to hear it. They will search for teachers because they have itching ears and they want to be taught what feeds their flesh and not convicts their heart. I tell you, come out from among them. Don't be among them. God is softening the heart of his people so that the least nudge of his spirit, we're sensitive to it and we hear it and we are mighty in spirit, as was John the Baptist and as was Jesus Christ. We are mighty in spirit. Jesus said, he who practices the truth gladly comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. When you're walking in the light, you say, hello, Jesus, good morning. When you're walking in the light, you say, good night, Jesus, I love you. When you're walking in the light, you want to go where the light's shining. When you're walking in the light, you long for the light. When you're walking in the light, you want the light to get brighter. And that's how God describes you. He said, the path of the just is like the shining light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Get ready. Those that are walking with him are only going to get brighter. Amen. Now, Jesus made it clear that this roadside soil, this roadside seed, the problem is the Word of God makes no penetration. The roadside heart is self-sufficient, self-satisfied, self-righteous. They feel no disgrace or remorse, the hard heart. No remorse for their sins or for their sluggishness towards the things of God. They don't care. Their heart's hard. They're desensitized to the voice of God. This kind of soil does not allow the turning of the mind towards spiritual things.
Have you allowed the world's cares to harden your heart, making it resistant to God's word? Or are you cultivating a soft and fertile ground, receptive to his teachings and ready to bear fruit for his kingdom? In today's message, Pastor Jeff shared that just as a farmer carefully tends to the soil to ensure a bountiful harvest, you also need to nurture the soil of your heart in your relationship with Jesus. Commit to nurturing it to yield a rich harvest of faith and love.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Wickwire, host of the Hardwired broadcast, and I'm so excited to tell you about this month's offer for you, our listeners, the Stand Strong Men's Paperback Journal. This beautiful journal is a powerful way to keep track of what God speaks to you from day to day. For any donation of over $25, this journal will be yours. Just visit hardwire.org today Click Donate Now and make your donation to receive this inspiring journal. Thank you for all your support of Hardwired.
Just as a tree can wither from the inside out if its roots are contaminated, so too can our faith be compromised if we allow sin to take root. In his following message, Pastor Jeff reminds you that it's critical to recognize the dangers of spiritual decay and take decisive action to root out the sin. By maintaining a pure and steadfast witness, you can effectively share the life-transforming message of the gospel with a world in desperate need of redemption. That's all the time we have for today's edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. If you'd like a copy of today's message, download it from our website, hardwired.org. Be sure to tune in again as Pastor Jeff continues teaching through the book of Mark, next time on Hardwired.